When I was an Army chaplain, my soldiers asked me all kinds of questions about God, life, relationships, the Bible, and answered them as best I could. They also called me Padre. Welcome to the Dear Padre podcast. I'm glad you're here today. A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 40, 1 through 23. Genesis 40, a reading. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief and the butlers, and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." But the chief butler told his dream, and the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said unto him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, "I was also in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat out of the basket upon my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh off thee." And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is the origins of the butler, baker, and candlestick maker. Well, we have the butler and the baker anyway. No candlestick maker in the story of Joseph. Here we have the saga of Joseph in his own words, a little summary of Joseph's experience. We have Joseph speaking before this, clearly, talking to Potiphar's wife. He has that conversation. We have these words there. But he is largely silent in this story up till now. He is like most of us when we are thrown upside down by life, when circumstances have conspired against us and we're fallen down and in the pit and sold away to a foreign land and disoriented and falsely accused. And whatever we go through, we are silent. We don't have much to say. And Joseph doesn't have much to say until he has this conversation with the baker and the butler. And what does Joseph say about his experience? He says, "For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here I have done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon." This was all Joseph really has to say about his own experience, that I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews. He didn't say, my brothers sold me. He doesn't say that, they were going to kill me and then they didn't, or that, I interpreted these dreams and my brothers didn't like it. He didn't do all the kind of stuff that we normally do, that I normally do. I'm just speaking for myself here. When I tell you my woes, he did this to me, she did this to me, he said this to me, she said this to me, and they did this to me. He just kind of says it without any people involved. I was stolen away. He doesn't say who did it. In many ways, Joseph, it seems like, has experienced some healing here, where the narrative of his life is one of tragedy, for sure. He doesn't deserve to be here in this dungeon. And he knows that. He didn't do anything wrong with Potiphar's wife. He didn't do anything wrong with his brothers. And yet he describes it passively in the passive voice. I was stolen away. It just happened to me. It was tragedy. I think there is a step of healing for all of us that takes the horrific events of life, things that have happened to us or to other people, and puts them in this category of tragedy. Rather than trying to find a meaning for everything, the human mind craves meaning. And whenever something bad happens to us, we start to try to make a meaning out of it. We try to figure out why it happened. Maybe I was too slow. Maybe I was too dumb. Maybe I was too naive. Maybe I was too inconsiderate. Maybe I was too, we come up with all these interpretations for why something happened right away, the minute it happens. Maybe God is telling me this. Maybe God is telling me that. Maybe I shouldn't be doing, all these things. And when we can get to that place and say, of course, I was involved in this situation. Of course, I have a role to play in it. Of course, God has a role to play in it too. And of course, this is all weaving together for God's goodness. All those things are true. And yet there is this thing called tragedy, which is the mystery of suffering, that we can't always figure out why something has happened the way it has and what the meaning of it is. And Joseph is kind of there. That's a really good place to be in the healing journey. And we'll see his healing journey as we get to the later chapters. I mean, he really has a healing era coming up with his brothers who did this to him. And yet they are not mentioned here at all. What he is concerned about is getting a good word to somebody who can get him out of jail. He's thinking practically. He's saying, I know what situation I'm in and I need to get out of here. It is a good thing to want to get out of prison. It is a good thing. It is a good thing to want to get out of a situation that you find yourself trapped in. Joan of Arc famously was imprisoned, betrayed possibly by her own side, imprisoned in a high tower, and she jumped out of the window, around 50 to 70 feet of a jump into a dry moat. And she broke bones, had serious injuries from that horrific fall. When they questioned her later about it, they said, did the voices of the angels tell you to jump, tell you to escape? Why did you escape? Did God tell you to escape? And she said, no. I escaped because every prisoner has the right to escape. When you are imprisoned, you have that right to escape. And Joseph is trying to do that here as best he can. He knows that If only somebody in power knew what had happened to him, maybe they would see his side of things and spring him from the clink. Potiphar, like I said yesterday, probably knows that Joseph is innocent, and yet he has to save face. And possibly if enough time goes by, they can let him go, because they're pretty sure they didn't execute him, which would have been probably the penalty for the crime that he's been accused of. So they probably know he's innocent. But here with this butler and the baker, the butler is a word for the cupbearer of the king. If there's some funny videos on the internet of Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un toasting each other at one of their meetings, and they both are holding champagne glasses, and they both are like watching the other one before they drink out of it. They're like, and then neither of them drink the champagne. You know, when you're Vladimir Putin, you are very careful what you drink. And probably Kim Jong-un too, because there's a lot of people that want you to be dead. And so the king's cupbearer was in a similar situation. He was the one that tasted all the drinks before the king got to drink them. A safety mechanism. Had to be a person that was unbribable, someone that you would be trusted implicitly with your life. Because even if they're drinking out of the cup and they don't die, maybe they faked the drink. So you need somebody that you can trust. And he had lost the Pharaoh's trust somehow. Here, he's called the king of Egypt. He's also called Pharaoh. But he's lost the trust, but not enough to be executed yet. So this is kind of telling us what the situation Joseph is in. Certainly the penalty of death hangs over Joseph as it hangs over these two trusted officials. The chief baker is a similar trusted official, it seems like. He's in charge of all the baking of the land of Egypt. We like to think of everybody in the olden days sort of living in little houses and, you know, having little kitchens or they cook things. But for most of human history in cities and places like Egypt, communal kitchens were the thing that people used. There'd be one oven where they baked all the bread every single day, rather than everybody having individual ovens. Certainly people cooked at home, but communal ovens, communal food has always been the norm for human civilization. It is only in our society that we have sort of individualized it so much that you're expected to know how to cook and bake and do all that stuff yourself today. This was specialized civilization in those days. We have kind of subverted this with restaurant culture. The fact that most Americans go to a restaurant numerous times a week is a new thing, but it's actually a really old thing that these Egyptians were doing with their communal meals. They were basically shared restaurants. And this chief baker may have been that guy, or he may have been just the pastry chef of the Pharaoh. It says that when he gets restored to the good graces of the Pharaoh, he bakes him a bunch of sweetmeats or bake meats, all manner of bake meats. That's in his dream. So he's like a pastry chef maybe or something. Anyway, these two dreams are disturbing. They make the dreamers very sad. And they're almost the same dream, except the outcome of both is very, very different. Of each is very different. One is hung. His sentence comes due. Pharaoh executes him on his birthday, a pretty big insult. So Pharaoh saw his execution as being sort of part of the celebrations. That's not someone that still has the Pharaoh's trust. And yet, the butler is back serving the cup to Pharaoh. He's back serving this chalice of wine to the Pharaoh. We will see later in Genesis, this same cup is used as a device to get young Benjamin back to Egypt. Joseph plants it in his grain sack. So this cup is very important in the story. We'll see it a little bit later. But this interpretation of dreams, I don't know if you have any dreams. Dreams have immense meaning in our lives. I don't know if you've woken up from a dream in the last couple days that disturbed you, bothered you, made you wonder what was going on. And Joseph's truth is still true. The interpretations of dreams belongs to God. God is the interpreter of dreams. And so the closer we are to God, the more we will understand our dreams. Joseph is a prophet, and he is an interpreter of dreams. It is his interpretation of dreams that will bring about his restoration in the kingdom. And so he starts here in this dungeon, doing what God has called him to do. This is, the lesson of Joseph's life for us. Wherever we find ourselves, that is where we have to do God's work. We don't get to choose where we do it. We really don't in most of life. We like to think we have a lot of choices in life. But if you look back at them, they were usually options. One option that was good, another option that was a little less good, one that was a little less good than that. And you pick the one that seemed best to you at the time. And we don't always get to choose where we do God's work. But we do get to choose if we do it, no matter where we are, in the dungeon, in the prison, in the court of the Pharaoh. And yet, Joseph's strategy, which is from God to interpret these dreams, fails. The cupbearer, the chief butler, does not remember Joseph. He says, when you get up there to the palace, remember me. And he doesn't. This is how the climb to fame always works. When you become famous, remember me and launch my career back. It doesn't work because the cupbearer is only thinking about himself. That's all he cares about. He forgets Joseph, the guy who gave him the only hope that he had in that prison. He has forgotten him. But God is not finished with Joseph yet. There is another dream coming, and the dreamer will be Pharaoh. And then the cupbearer will remember him. Tomorrow is Saturday, so we might not remember to read if we do or don't, but that is the one that Pharaoh dreams, and Joseph is ready for that interpretation. So part of the lesson is that we need to be ready for what God has called us to do, ready to do God's calling of love. That's what Joseph does. He loves the baker, he loves the butler, and he cares about them, and he listens to them. You have an immense power of listening. We all have this power, and we rarely ever use it because we're always thinking about what we're going to say next and things like that. But the power of listening is profound. It is a superpower that comes from God, and you have it. We all have it. So listen in the prisons and dungeons and palaces today. Amen.